Hello and welcome to Animal Voices. You're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Lauren Corman, here with Carl Orzechowski, bringing us the news, teching for us today. And we also have a couple of co-op students who are sitting in. And I'm going to mention their names quickly on the air, Andy and Sam. And we're glad that they're here today because we have a really exciting show. Today we're going to be speaking with the founder of the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank. It's the first vegetarian food bank in all of Canada. And we're going to be speaking with the founder about what prompted him to start the Vegetarian Food Bank, how it's growing, what they offer, and all that other good stuff. It'll be a great show. We will do that at about the quarter after point, after we hear some news. I should let people know, too, if you'd like to access this program again or any of our 250-plus programs, you can go to our website at animalvoices.ca, and you can download the programs in both a larger and higher quality version and a smaller and lower quality version if you're still on dial-up. Again, that's animalvoices.ca, and we'd love to hear from you. You can write us at animalvoices@gmail.com. And I should mention for our international listeners who access this program as a podcast, we do have our fundraising show coming up on November 4th, and we'd love it if you made a pre-pledge because it helps us going into the live program. So you can do that by going to ciut.fm, and we'll also have information posted on our website, animalvoices.ca. So please stay tuned. We're going to do an interview with Milan Joseph about the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank at about the quarter after point, but without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Carl with the news.
Thanks, Lauren. The first piece of news coming to us today is actually an announcement from a local group. They wanted us to mention that the walkathon to benefit Farm Sanctuary in honor of World Farm Animals Day is happening this Saturday, October 18th, 2008. It's happening at Woodbine Beach Park on the Beach Boardwalk, 1675 Lakeshore Boulevard East, and that's in Toronto. The meeting point is just north of Woodbine Bathing Station on the grass. Registration is at 11:30 a.m. and the walk is at 1 p.m. The registration fee is $20 on walk day, and it's advanced pre-registration is now closed. The website, if you're interested in finding out more information, is www.walkforfarmanimals, all one word, .org. That's www.walkforfarmanimals.org. The directions, if you want to get there, it is east of Coxwell Avenue, south of Lakeshore Boulevard East, in the beaches. You walk south towards the lake and the Woodbine Bathing Station. It is a white building just south of the boardwalk with public washrooms. If you're interested in contacting the organizers, they are Julie Case and Holly Larson. You can reach them at toronto@walkforfarmanimals.org or by telephone at 416-910-2248. So please note that the walk duration is approximately 90 minutes to 2 hours. All ages are welcome, and it is very dog-friendly, although dogs should be on a leash, please. In the event of inclement weather, they will be walking along Queen Street East. However, the meeting point will remain the same, and please bring rain gear in the event of rain. Also, there is a public washroom facility very close to the meeting point, and no food or beverages are sold at the walk site. However, they will have a water cooler, so bring your own water bottle with you. And the first piece of actual news coming to us today from the CBC is the headline, "One in Four Mammals Threatened with Extinction," says report. The first review of the world's mammals in more than a decade paints a bleak picture, with close to a quarter of species threatened with extinction, according to the International Union for the Conservation of Nature. The main threats are habitat loss and overexploitation for terrestrial mammals, and pollution, global warming, and overexploitation for marine mammals, according to the authors of a study to be published Friday in the journal Science. The findings, based on a survey of over 5,000 mammals on Earth, were presented Monday at an IUCN meeting in Barcelona, and are the first major update to the state of the world's mammals since 1992. The assessment found that at least 1,141 of the 5,487 mammals on Earth are known to be threatened with extinction. That's about 1 in 5. But the authors said there is too little data to classify more than 800 mammals, many of which are thought to be endangered, bringing the estimated number of threatened species closer to 1 in 4. quote, "It is frightening that after millions and millions of years of evolution that have given rise to the biodiversity of mammals, we are perched on a crisis where 25% of species are threatened with being lost forever," said Arizona State University professor Andrew Smith, one of more than 100 authors of the paper, in a statement. The researchers state that 188 mammals are in the highest threat category, critically endangered, including the Vancouver Island marmot, which moved from endangered to critically endangered in the last year. The distinction between conservation categories is a matter of degree. For example, if a decline in the animal's population is one of the measures used to assess the threat level, a critically endangered animal would be one whose population could be observed or estimated to have been reduced by 80% over the last 10 years or three generations, whichever is longer. Quote, "Our results paint a bleak picture of the global status of mammals worldwide," the authors of the Science article state. Yet more than simply reporting on the depressing status of the world's mammals, these red list data can and should be used to inform strategies for addressing this crisis, for example, to identify priority species and areas for conservation. They point to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's reintroduction of the black-footed ferret to 8 western states and Mexico as a successful example of conservation. And a slightly more uplifting piece of news coming to us from the Kalamazoo Gazette. The headline is, "More meatless meals at Southwest Michigan colleges thanks to vegetarian students and staff." The hot dogs looked irresistible, piled beside trays of chili and cheese sauce. Then came the vegetarian choices. Warm, glistening slices of summer squash that had been stir-fried in a nearby wok that was still hot on a stove. A pan of polenta squares smothered in a mushroom ragu. Lunch options have changed at Kalamazoo College, as vegetarians and vegans now carry more influence. Vegetarians don't eat meat, although some eat fish. Vegans don't eat any animal products at all, including milk, cheese, and eggs. Quote, "Before there was just iceberg lettuce, which is really bad, then spinach started showing up, and I found out that that was coming from local farms," said sophomore Stephen Krupp, 18, of San Francisco, during lunch Tuesday in Kalamazoo College's dining hall. Quote, "They also have vegan options," said Krupp's friend Carrie Larson, a 19-year-old sophomore from Ann Arbor. "They have that new vegan chef. It used to be just old vegetables and rice here, and now it's cooked real food." The new fare includes the Thai classic pad thai, as well as roasted vegetable wraps and hummus in 20 different flavors. The chef is Jacob Asperger, a line cook who has turned into a chef responsible for preparing vegetarian and vegan cuisine at Kalamazoo College. He's the first vegetarian chef for the private college. This fall, with 10 months of experience cooking vegetarian fare and the aid of the fall harvest, Asperger has pumped life and energy into the college's cafeteria, which serves an extensive spread of foods for 500 to 600 students for lunch and dinner daily. The added vegetarian offerings at K College are part of a trend among colleges and universities in the region. Dining hall directors have discovered that even non-vegetarian students, who are in the majority, will select vegetarian dishes when they want healthy choices. At Western Michigan University, a study showed 50% of students will select a vegetarian entree if it appeals to them. The dining service has responded with veggie focaccia grinders and portobello mushrooms in pretzel rolls, said dining service director Judy Gipper. Students at Ferris State University in Big Rapids are partial to vegetarian soups, according to one of the dining service managers there. A student committee of vegetarians and vegans at Albion College provides suggestions and feedback about dishes to dining hall officials once per month. The vegetarian product company Opie's of Kalamazoo, known for veggie burgers and organic cookies, plans to offer a food tasting at Albion November 12th. Quote, "Years ago, the word vegan was only a test question for chefs in school. Now, vegans are an important part of our business," said Paul Carter, executive chef at Kalamazoo College. On Tuesday at K College, Chef Asperger made mujadara, a Lebanese dish with lentils and rice topped with caramelized onions. It was served at the vegan section of the cafeteria beside the pizza station. Vegetarian puttanesca sauce, which Asperger has made the day before, with tomatoes, capers, and olives for a pasta dish, was also used as a sauce for cheese pizza. "It was repeated suggestions and complaints from students about a need for more vegetarian and vegan fare that prompted Carter to offer more vegetarian dishes and to eventually make a chef responsible for them." Quote, the vegan population used to be about 5 to 7%, Carter said. As the years went on, the population grew to amazing proportions. They were asking for more vegan and vegetarian things. Then I interviewed students personally to get more suggestions. We began preparing the foods, but it wasn't being carried out well. The lunch cook I had preparing them did not have enough time to make the dishes properly. We had to make sure these dishes were going to be done correctly. I had to create extra hours for him and cut back in other places. It has made a difference that Asperger is a vegetarian. In doing his own shopping, it is second nature for him to examine labels to make sure the food he buys does not contain meat products. He does the same with Verve in the college cafeteria kitchen. The kitchen's Caesar dressing, Worcestershire sauce, and Caribbean jerk marinade all contain anchovies, he said. The fajita and gravy mixes contain dehydrated beef fat. Lots of pita breads contain animal products as well. When cooking meals, he tries to substitute these ingredients for such products. Quote, I'm a stickler, man, Asperger said. I'm always eyeballing ingredients. Animal products have a chokehold on our world, he said, jokingly. And finally, the last piece of news, something that I've seen pop up in a bunch of places this past week, and I still really don't know what to think about it. I took this story from lifeinthefastlane.ca. The headline is, Banksy sets up pet shop with self-dipping chicken nuggets and swimming fish sticks. You'll never perceive chicken nuggets in the same way again once you've checked out the British graffiti artist's new animatronics installation, an exhibit featuring the contradictory ways in which people see and use animals at Banksy's Village Pet Store and Charcoal Grill. The subversive artist's pet shop features a pair of chicken nuggets, two bite-sized deep-fried chickens, pecking at a packet of ketchup while watched over by a mother hen. A sign in front of the store reads, Open for pet supplies, rare breeds, mechanically retrieved meat. You're greeted by a children's dolphin ride on the sidewalk, which features the creature wrapped in a fishing net to represent catch of the day. In the storefront window, a large furry object is perched on a tree branch, swinging its tail in a zoo enclosure. An ingeniously arranged fake fur coat characterized as a leopard. A rabbit wearing a pearl necklace files her nails in a window, and a robotic monkey sits in a cage inside the store wearing headphones, holding a remote, and watching some fellow monkeys in an amorous moment on TV. Hot dogs and sausages squirm about in sand-filled terrariums, and another installation reveals two fish fingers swimming gently around a goldfish bowl. The animatronic displays are real pet supplies, packages of luncheon meat, and odd food items such as cans of quail eggs and Hormel pork tidbits. Quote, I wanted to make art that questioned our relationship with animals and the ethics and sustainability of factory farming, Banksy said in a statement, but it kind of ended up as chicken nuggets singing. The subject matter of these kitsch animal scenes with a bite are very much in line with the humor of his other work, said Stephen Ludwig, currently preparing for an urban art sale at Druitt's Auctioneers in London, which contains 11 Banksy prints. In recent years, his graffiti has become so valuable that the surfaces on which they were completed have been removed and the work sold. Mr. Ludwig, chairman of Druitt's, thought that Banksy could have moved into sculpture, partly in response to his street work being taken off the streets and sold at auction. And if you happen to be in New York, the Village Pet Store and Charcoal Grill is Banksy's first official exhibition in New York, and it will be open to the public daily through October 31st at 89 7th Avenue in Greenwich Village, New York. And that is the news.
Thanks, Carl. The story that you read about all the different foods that were being offered at that cafeteria. Mm-hmm. Did they really say 20 different types of
hummus?
They
didn't really say 20 types of hummus. I thought
that
you were
going
to...
That would be a heaven for me.
I think it would be.
20 different types of hummus.
Yeah, I wonder though if they're just like small variations, you know, like
right.
Garlic hummus and
super
onion.
Garlicky
super
hummus.
Garlic hummus, yeah. Something like that.
I should tell people, too, just some information again about the program. Animalvoices.ca is our website if you're interested in checking out this program or any of our archive shows. It's again animalvoices.ca, and you can write us at animalvoices@gmail.com. We'd love a pre-pledge from you, especially our international listeners that sometimes miss our live program as a radio show. Our fundraising show is coming up on November 4th, and you can find out information about how to donate by going to our website shortly. I'm sure Neil will post something soon, animalvoices.ca, or go directly to CIUT and make your donation there through the secure web server. That is CIUT.FM. We're going to take a short break. We'll come back with Milan Joseph. We're going to talk to him about the founding of the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank. It's the first vegetarian food bank in all of Canada. Hi, welcome back to the program. You're listening to Animal Voices, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Lauren Corman. We heard some news with Carl at the top of the hour, and now we're turning to our interview with Milan Joseph, and he's the founder of the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank. We're really glad to have him here today. I'll just read you a little bit about how they describe themselves at the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank. They say the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank mission is to engage, inspire, and lead Ontarians in creating a hunger-free world. They say, we understand many people turn to vegetarianism for many different reasons, be it spiritual, health, environmental, or ethical. Our aim is to provide not only nutritious food to low-income vegetarians, but also support and hope. It is my great pleasure to have Mr. Joseph on the line.
Hello.
Hi, Milan. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being on the program today.
Okay. Thank you for giving me an opportunity for your radio.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And I heard about you initially. A friend of mine forwarded a story that The Star had done.
Right.
Have you gotten a lot of press then about the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank that started in May?
Yeah, it was started in May 11th of this year. That is actually a Mother's Day. And I have a dream of opening this vegetarian food bank for the last 10 years because this organization is based on the Hinduism people and all vegetarian people. So this year only I get a chance, and you know, when you open a food bank like this, you have to go through many regulations, city permits and registration and name search and all kind of etc.
Mm.
So on the Mother's Day, so I decided, okay, I had a location, two locations actually. One is in Scarborough, like on Midland, 2370 Midland, Midland and Shepherd. And we have another location in the west at 2400 Finch Avenue West. It's a Finch and Western. This is beside a Hindu temple.
Wow.
These two locations was open on the May 11th on the Mother's Day.
And so how was the grand opening? Did you have, I think you had some other people that were there too, a chef?
Yeah, I invited a former candidate of one of my community person as a political leader. So he came and cut the ribbon, and I invited all of my friends and everybody. So it was a grand opening, a very good opening. Since the opening, so I was listed under the 211 listing, Toronto 211, and I informed all the social services, ODSP offices and EA offices about the food bank. So I put some flyers too, actually. So through there, their referrals, the people started coming, like low-income people. People started coming to the food bank, and they started getting food.
Mm.
Where I was getting food is at that time, I have my friends who have some grocery stores, and they have some convenience stores. So I go and explain to the my idea, and they said, okay, we can help you a little bit for everyone, right? So then they give me some packed food, canned food, and even some fresh vegetables. So I started giving only one day, Saturday only, because I didn't have much help to do it, because I have to do it by myself. Then I got somebody also, her name is Jessica Smith, so she also joined with me and gave a hand to help me put everything on place, like paperwork and telephones and a little bit administration work. So obviously we are opening every Saturday. From the morning, from 9 to actually 6 o'clock in two locations.
Great.
Yeah.
And you credit your wife, who is a Hindu vegetarian,
yes,
for raising, I guess, awareness for you, drawing your attention to the plight of low-income vegetarians. Can you tell us a bit more about her perspective and why it moved you?
Yeah. Actually, my wife is the one who started a Hindu temple in 1998. That location is also 2400 Finch Avenue in North York. It's a big temple, it's 6,000 square feet. She does all the prayers and Hinduism weddings and all kind of stuff. So she's a vegetarian. On that basis, I was thinking, because if you see the churches in Canada or anywhere else, the churches, mosques, any other institution, religious institution, most of them, they have a food bank.
Mm.
But if you look into the Hindus, none of the Hindu temples have the food bank. And plus, they get the food, vegetables, or the people bring some kind of groceries, milk and everything, but they use it on the temple purpose, so it's not given out.
Okay.
So that's the reason I said no. Whatever is coming to the temple, it has to go out to the people to feed them as a vegetarian. But another point is, if you think about a non-vegetarian, he has two options. He has two options in the sense he can eat non-veggie and veggie. And if he's the only vegetarian person, he has only one option. There's no second. So that's the reason I thought, since he's running the temple last 10 years, and I know a lot of vegetarian people who come to the temple, and sometimes they don't have enough food for their kids and their family. And I know personally, I was told these stories to me, so I said, this is the time, and we have to open one, and we have to feed the people as a vegetarian. But even though, if a non-vegetarian comes, I can't even give the vegetarian food. There's no problem.
Mm.
That's the main idea.
So how many people right now are accessing the food bank?
Yeah, currently now I have about 40 families registered. Like a single moms and single fathers and low-income people, no-income people, all together. So far, I have about 40 to 50 families now.
Mm. And are they mostly within the Hindu community then, within Toronto and within that particular area?
I'm covering all Toronto.
Okay.
But they're not especially, they are Hindus. They are from very different religions, very different multi-level people. And they speak different language also, but everybody has the access.
Great.
It's not bound to only for Hindus. It's like a common.
So what have people told you about the people that have come? What are some of the things that people have said to you about accessing the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank?
Yeah, the people's comments was very good. They said, you know, Mr. Marlon, if you go into the food bank, like a regular food bank, the meat and the vegetarian stuff are mixed together, and then the people also who are handling, they put their hands and they serve all the every food, right?
Mm.
They don't pay particular attention to the vegetarian people or the vegetarian product. They mix up everything, so it is very uncomfortable when you go to the common food bank to get only vegetarian food. But we are very comfortable when I come to this place, because this is a vegetarian, and the people who serve us are vegetarian, and they are doing very carefully. So you don't need to think about the other side of the non-veg, right?
Mm.
So they're very clean and very comfortable, and they praise, oh my goodness, finally we have something like this, and we have to thank to the God and thank to you that you have opened like this. And everybody was praising, like,
And how do you respond to people who are listening and they're thinking, well, if you're somebody who is struggling, you really shouldn't be choosy. You know, you should just go to a regular food bank and just eat what you're given. You shouldn't be choosy and seek out a vegetarian food bank.
Yeah, if the people the who is listening, the listeners are now, if they want to have an access, we have a helpline. It's called 416-744 help. That means 416-744-4357. If they call this number, there will be somebody answering the phone. Then they will register them. When they come to the food bank, we will make sure that they have a low income. Say, for example, somebody is on a social assistance. They will prove that they will bring their drug card or the card they come into the mail, right, to show that they are on social assistance. Or
okay.
They are on unemployment. They have the EI card. Or they are on disability. They have a disability drug card or something like that.
You mentioned that some people, I just want to get back to this, about some people being very uncomfortable if they went to a regular food bank. Can you tell us about some of the reasons why people are vegetarian, why the people are vegetarian who come to the food bank? I know that's lots of different reasons, but why people wouldn't want to compromise and end up eating meat if they didn't have to?
Yeah, the thing is, from their experience, what they told me is, because say, for example, a person who is a religious person, he's a Muslim, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if he go to the regular food bank, there is pork, or the pork product food is there. don't want to see any pork product inside the food bank or anything like that. Say for example, if it is a Hindu, pure Hindu, he doesn't want to see any fish fish can or like a tin fish or like a dried fish or anything in the food bank, or maybe the smell. Actually, there were a lot of people were talking about the smell, because the fish or the meat smell they can't handle. So that's the reason they say if I come to the vegetarian food bank especially, you don't have that kind of smell or that kind of thinking. The mind is already set. I'm going to the vegetarian food bank, I'm getting a pure vegetarian, that's it. So that's how the experience they were telling me about the smell and the handling of the food.
Mm. Some of the articles were mentioning that for some people within the Hindu community that are vegetarian, that this is tied to the notion of karma and nonviolence.
That's right, yeah. That is also one of the main things the people are coming to the food bank and they want to promote. So some of the people, they are coming to the food bank or giving donations. They said, apart from giving food also, we have to educate people not to kill animals. So that step, maybe I'm going to do it in future. Mm. When I a little bit growing or some donation we get and some of the financial situation is going better, then that time we will do some kind of seminars like educational things and kind of educational type of things. We will promote the vegetarianism, and plus we will say against killing the animals.
Milan, we're going to take a short break. We have to play an ad, but I'd love to come back and talk with you more and learn about how people can get involved.
Yes.
And how people can make donations and that kind of thing. So if you'll stay on the line, we'll do a short break and then we'll come back with you.
Sure, yes.
Okay, great. We're just speaking with Milan Joseph. He is the founder of the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank. We're really pleased to talk with him today. We're going to do a short break. We'll come back and learn more about the Vegetarian Food Bank and what you can do to get involved. They need a lot of help looking for donations. And you might think that being vegetarian is always a cheaper way to go, but as Milan points out in a couple of articles that have been published about the food bank, that with rising food costs and transportation issues, they can still pay a lot of money for veggies. So please stay tuned. We're going to take a short break and come back with Milan. Today we're speaking with the founder of the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank. It's the first vegetarian food bank in all of Canada. It's my great pleasure to have Milan Joseph here today. Before the break, we were talking about some of the reasons why people access this food bank and some of the different ins and outs of starting a food bank. And I wanted to talk about what people can do to get involved. And so, Milan, welcome back to the show.
Yes, hi there. I wanted to tell you about how I got recognized.
Okay.
Since I started in May 11th, 2008, on the Mother's Day, and I was just talking to my friends and whoever known to me and whoever having grocery stores and convenience stores, and that's how it was running. And all of a sudden in August, there was a call from the state, America. They called me. They said, okay, we are calling from McLean's magazine, and you are Mr. Marlin. You are the founder of the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank. I said, yes. Okay, since you are living in Canada, somebody is going to call you from Canada, McLean's, and he's going to do an article on you. Okay, that's fine. Ask her to call me. Then there was a lady named, she's a writer about the food and health section. Her name is Julia, and she called me from Vancouver, and she called me, and she, like the same way you guys were doing an interview, and she was doing an interview, and she wrote an article on August, I think, on the 7th issue of McLean's on the August, and she did the article about me, and they finally a food bank for vegetarians, so that was the heading, and she did a very good job, and after this McLean's magazine, you won't believe, there was amazing big calls. Out of all of the calls, and there was one call from Milton. They called, the organization called Radha Swami Society of Canada. And I had to mention about this organization also, because they are the one now, big support for the green fresh vegetables. Mm. What they do is, this organization, they have a big property in Milton, that is 125 acres, And how do I get to know this organization is? After one of the member of the secretary read the article, they informed to the president. His name is Michael. He also in Milton. And he also read the article and he called me and he said, I want to have an interview with you. I want to talk to you. So I went there in Milton in August and I was talking to him and he was so appreciated and he said, okay, this is what our organization is doing, which means in 125 acres, they do farming. They do farming. What they do is in the farm, whatever the produce comes, they never sell it. They just keep it and they store it and they give it to homeless, food banks and the shelters. That's all they do out of 125 acres. And I heard this and I was so amazed about how they do this. And on that particular day when I went there, I saw about 175 volunteers, almost 200 volunteers. They are working on the farm.
Wow.
Yeah, all are vegetarian people, all are volunteers, and they don't even touch any food. They don't take it home or they don't sell it. The whole produce is given away to like a food bank and everything. So as soon as he sees this article about the vegetarianism, because they are already a vegetarian people, whoever participates, whoever wants to become a member has to be a vegetarian. So I think this organization is 200 years old and they don't want any publicity for the people. So that's why they don't advertise or they don't do any kind of promotion. But they silently help the food banks, shelters and like a vegetarian food bank, mine, they are helping. Every
Great.
Saturday I go and take the fresh vegetables. And plus, we have to point out one thing, they are organic. They are organic. Mm. You know organic, right? Organic means mm-hmm. there's no pesticide, no chemical, nothing. Like back home, you just, in your backyard, put some potatoes and take it out and just put it in, you cook, right? Like that. So it was so wonderful and they are backing up me very good. And every time, every Saturday when they open, the people who come, they get a fresh vegetable, like
Wonderful.
A carrot. Whatever the vegetable you see in the grocery store, I'm giving to the people.
So then are most of the vegetables coming from that farm then? You also mentioned that at the beginning when you started the food bank that some of your friends were running grocery stores and convenience stores and gave you some groceries as well.
Yes, correct, yeah.
So is it mostly from the farm then at this point, or are other people donating as well?
After the Toronto Star wrote the article, they wrote the article on the living section, they wrote about the vegetarian food bank. Most of the average people, they read the article and they brought some, I think about 10 people, they brought packed food, canned food, rice, flour, sugar, milk, kind of thing, they brought it. And one interesting story I wanted to share with you and your listeners, the very interesting story. One gentleman, he called from Brampton. Brampton, he said, okay, Mr. Marlon, is it the vegetarian food bank? I said, yes. I wanted to bring food, 168 kilos worth of food. Okay, I said, you can bring it. So I gave, Brampton is, his closest location is 2400 Finch and Western at North York. So I said, please bring it over here. So before end of my conversation, I said, what is the significance of the number 168? I was thinking, say, somebody bring 10 pounds, 15 pounds, 100 pounds, 20 pounds, like, you know, the rounded. But what is 168? I got to explain to you why 168. Because when my son was born little, he was sick. So he prayed to God. He said, every year, maybe three times or four times, I will weigh my son. I put my son on the on one of the scale, and I put the food on the other scale. How is my son is the weight? I will bring that so much weight as the food.
Right.
So he said, today my son is 16 years old, and he weighs Thursday 168 pounds. So I'm bringing 168 pounds of worth of food with my son.
That's a great story.
And definitely, and you won't believe, I was so amazed about this story. Some communities, they do like this, but even our Tamil community also, they do, but they forgot, because this was a long time ago, people, they have a concepts like, you know, if you donate the food straight to the children, then they are automatically blessed. But nowadays, people have forgotten that. But this man reminded me last week, and he brought his son also, and he showed me his weight is 168, and he brought 168 pounds worth of food, like sugar, milk, everything altogether, exactly 168 pounds.
Mm.
So this was a very wonderful story, but I think your listeners would have been also enjoyed this story, because this is like a, we say it's like an interesting story, but this is a reality.
And it shows the generosity, too, of just the average person that wants to help out.
Exactly, exactly. So it was so wonderful. On that day, they brought, on Thursday, on Saturday, I gave sugar, I gave whatever they bring it, we put it in a small portion and give away to the people. They were so happy about this. And plus, since we are doing this food bank through associated with the temple, Hindu temple, we have a tradition of, the Hindu temple have a tradition of bringing milk and pouring into the god, like you know the statue.
Mm-hmm.
They have a tradition of offering milk to the god. That means they will pour the milk on top of the statue. The statue is the stone, right? So it's a black stone. If you get a chance mm-hmm. to go into the Hindu temple, you can see the statues are black, the black stone statues. What they do is their faith of offering is you put milk on top of the god. So what does it mean? That means they think that they are offering milk to the god. This is a very long time tradition.
Mm.
But they are in Canada also, everybody is observing that. But in my opinion, what I said is, when you buy a bag of milk, they bring always one bag of milk. Inside you have a three bags, right? In each milk bag, you have three small bags, right? I told my priest, whenever they wanted to give offerings, okay, if it is a tradition, we have to do it, we have to follow it. Okay, give one small bag of milk to the god and pour it, and the rest of the two bags, we serve it and give it to the people.
Right.
Give it to the people. Why I did this, you know, I heard a story. I am in the social service and helping people last 15 years. I know some of the people, some of the families, they don't have milk to give it to their children to go to school.
I know that some of the things, too, that had been mentioned in the articles that you're looking for is some of those higher-priced items like tofu and tempeh, lentils, chickpeas, and cottage
like
cheese.
Yeah, like protein items.
Protein items, okay.
Yeah.
So you're still looking for those things?
Yeah, especially I wanted to give to the kids, small kids. I know one family, if I tell you the story, you are going to see how bad these people are suffering. You know, sometimes, like the immigrant people, they have some paper problem. They are not landed yet. So those kind of people, say, for example, sometimes they are dragging like 7-8 years. They are not landed. So those kind of people, they don't have a health card. They don't have a child tax. For the kids, they don't have nothing. So that kind of family, even you can imagine the people who are with everything, like they get the child tax, they get the health free. And everything, they have one side of the family. The other side of the immigrant people, they suffer because of their paper processing process. Sometimes they go like 10 years. I know one family, they are from Africa. She came here in 2000. Now 2008, since her case is not accepted.
Mm.
Since she's waiting. And since then, these kids, if they have a health problem, they have to pay to the doctor. Even to see the doctor, they have to pay. There's no child tax. So those kind of families, they are really suffering for the food. And they don't have enough nutritional food.
Mm-hmm.
And this type of information is never coming outside. Only the people who are very close to working with this kind of organization, only we know the reality in the each and every house. So that's the reason I always tell the people, don't worry, don't hesitate to tell your problem. You open your mouth, talk to the people. If you talk, you definitely will get help. Because if you have an immigration problem or paper problem, that they have to deal with the government. But every day, daily, your daily bread, like a daily your life, you need a food. So you talk to the people like us and talk to some of the churches or temples or anywhere. You talk to them and first you keep your children in a nutritional way so that they can go to school very strong and they can get the 11 years only, they are going to get a paper. If you don't feed them properly from the age 1 to 10 years, then you, after you get the paper, you can't say that you are going to feed up 10 years old child. Every day you have to maintain whether you have a paper or you don't have the paper. So those kind of situation also coming into the family, you know.
I wanted to ask you about what people can do, people who are listening that want to get involved. What is most helpful at this point? I know that in some places in Canada, there's the Grow a Row program where or initiative where people will grow an extra row of vegetables in their garden and donate.
Yes.
Is that something that you suggest that people do in Toronto, or is it better to bring canned goods, or should people make money donations? What are you looking for at this point from
This point of time, I'm looking for, because green vegetables already, the one farm is offering, I think they are doing very good, and they have a lot of produce. And now I need about like a canned food, packed food, like a soup, canned soup, you know, that kind of stuff. And plus, if they can donate like a money donation also, we can put some of the people into work, and regularly, maybe we can open more days, because we are only opening only one day, right?
Right.
So if I get a staff or somebody or one person or a secretary or something, we have to pay for them. And if they give a money donation, and the money donation also, not only we are going to send on the administration, we can say, for example, one family come and ask, can you buy me some fruit or some special item? So that money we can use it to buy that item and give it to them.
Cooking oils, for example, there weren't very many donations for cooking oils and some of those more expensive items.
Yeah, some of those expensive items. What they can do is they can buy also, before they buy or before they want to donate, they can call and ask what kind of items you need. Then we will give you a list of items, or this one is short, or that one is short, or that item is short. So please, can you bring this item? Or if you can't find it, or you bring your money, then we will spend on that particular area and get all kind of food and give it to them. So any people who want to donate, they are always welcome. We can, end of the year, we can issue a receipt for their tax purpose. There's no problem. And if everybody is supporting, I will definitely keep opening maybe 2-3 days or maybe 5 days a week.
That would be wonderful. Can you give us the number? Is it the 416-744-4357 number that people should use?
Yeah, we have a helpline, like a 416-744-HELP.
Okay.
That means 416-744-4357.
Great.
Sometimes this is the only one line for the time being we have. If it is going on a message, they can leave a message. Then somebody will, or me, will get back to them in very, very quick way. Yeah, there's no problem. Because a lot of callers are calling in one line. So sometimes it gets going to the message, so I will get back to them as soon as possible. If they leave their name and the number, then we can continuously contact them.
Okay, I'm just going to give that number again. It's 416-744-4357 if you'd like to get involved with the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank. Again, 416-744-4357. And you also, I was reading that you are currently paying out of your own pocket to rent the warehouse space where the food is located.
Yeah, that's what I'm just currently, I'm doing it. So if some more help comes, because I want it to be an example for the other people. If I wait that somebody is going to donate and then only I am going to open, then only I am going to give it to the people. So I don't think that kind of concept is not going to work for me. I said I wanted to be a first example to see, show the people that I am donating first my time and my money. Then if they believe in that, then they can donate. There's no problem.
Great. So
that's the reason I started. That's the reason it got delayed also, because I was kind of financially, because I'm supporting another organization also in the temple. So that's the reason it took a little bit longer to launch this project. But now I am okay. I'm also I'm a real estate agent with a home life, so I make some money. So most of the money that I make, I'm just giving back to this kind of service. I hope one day the people will realize, and if they give it to us, I will definitely put it in a proper place, because both me and my wife are real estate agents. We are doing very well for your family, for my food or my mortgage, my anything is I am earning myself. I will never touch a penny out of this kind of a donation, because this is whatever the people are donating, it is going out for the low-income people and the no-income people.
Great.
That's the promise.
Milan, thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure to talk with you today.
Yeah.
I'll give the number again, 416-744-4357.
Correct.
We can post information to you. I know you have a website, but it's not too developed yet. It's vegfoodbank.com.
www.vegfoodbank.com. Yeah.
Great.
It's under construction, yes.
We'll check in with you later, hopefully, and learn more about how the Vegetarian Food Bank is growing. And it's a very inspiring story, and I just want to congratulate you for all of your hard work and the efforts. It sounds like it's a very important service that obviously there's a great need, so we really appreciate the work you're doing.
Yeah, I'm thank you very much again for your time, and you call me, and your associate, I didn't get his name.
Oh, this is Carl.
Yeah, Carl. Thank you very much for your concern and giving me an opportunity to talk to your UTC radio and the listeners of your radio. I know worldwide there are a lot of people are listening this CIUT.
Yes.
And I have to thank you again for this service. If anybody is helping me, then this is the English radio. First time you call me, and there was one radio. They were doing it somewhere in London, Ontario, with Jessica Smith, my associate. She did the first interview. But this is a wonderful interview. You guys are very wonderful. I welcome always. We will keep in touch. Thank you for the opportunity. And I will tell about your radio also to my people who are coming to get the food. And we will keep in touch.
Great. Thank you so much, Milan.
God bless you.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We were just speaking with Milan. He's the founder of the Ontario Vegetarian Food Bank, and really was great to talk with him. There's some great articles online. Both The Star and Maclean's have done articles if you'd like to read more about the food bank. And again, 416 is the number. It's 416-744-4357 if you'd like to get involved, and we'll post some information on our website, animalvoices.ca. Thanks, Carl, for teching. And I hope that our co-op students, Sam and Andy, had a good time today on the program. I think we have Dos Mundos coming up. Stay tuned.